and welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's huge win over Queen's Park, review this Saturday's Scottish Cup tie at Civil Service Strollers, and we'll be hearing from manager Jim McAnally as well as Jason Brown and Danny Strachan. I'm Colin Byers, and as always, with me is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Colin. Yourself?
A bit cold.
It's not a warmest, is it?
It's going to call again. It's cold in this room as well, which doesn't help. Other than that, a good win on Saturday. Positive vibes again round about the building again?
Yeah, I was a much needed 3 points. We spoke about last week that we were anticipating a tough game. But, you know, I think the 3 points was the most important thing about Saturday.
It was. I think the common theme is it was a 3 points that nobody really predicted.
Yeah.
Even speaking to some of the players after, a lot of them, well, they obviously would like to win every game, but the common theme is it was one that they didn't really expect, particularly with so many players being out as well. So, all in all, it was a good day at the office, really.
Yeah, it was one of them things that with the injuries, suspensions and the form that we'd gone in, I think everybody, apart from folk inside the Peterhead camp, would have thought, you know, it's a stick on Queen's Park win. Maybe played in our favour. You know, the players were a wee bit more relaxed, less pressure. Yeah, things went our way on Saturday, thankfully.
And the amount of players that were missing, you know, Richie, Ferry, Conroy, McCarthy was suspended, Gary Fraser and Alan Cook obviously still out. You were scratching your head thinking, we're not going to have a team here. We've barely filled a bench. But the guys that came in, like Sir Lyle Cameron, Danny Strachan, who we'd mentioned during commentary, hadn't played or hadn't really started since September, they are come in and they are did a job and they are performed really, really well.
Yeah, I think every one of them, Danny and Lyle especially, they've come in, they hadn't played, you said it, on Saturday, 28th of September, August, sorry, in the 1st of September, these guys were their last game, so they've sort of come in out of the cold, so to speak, and they've been a really good performance. I thought Danny Strachan in particular, as the game went on, he got better and better. And that's credit to them. They've waited their chance through injury and suspension that they've got themselves in. They've given Jim a headache for the game on Saturday.
And then there's also doubts over McDonald and Payne as well. They both played. Payne just got over just over a half. McDonald played the full game as well. So. And then Scott Brown, we discovered as well, had been unwell on Friday night, Saturday morning. But
throw in the mix as well, Derek Lyle throughout the week was unwell. You know, things were against us, it's safe to say.
It was getting to this stage where it was just like David Nix was maybe going to get his boots back on after Sunday. But it just hit the. Everything was just going against us through the week, and you just had this kind of fear that it could go badly wrong. The only kind of positive was that the fact that they had the 1-4, which was the same as what we had done as well, but there was always that kind of, it's full-time players against part-time players.
Yeah, I mean, from we've seen the team sheet, we've seen the bench on Saturday, I was concerned, and then when Queens went 1-0 up, you did fear that it could be a very long afternoon. I think once they did go 1-0 up, there's a chance to go 2 couple of minutes after, and you felt if a second goal went in for Queens, we were in for a tough afternoon, the heads would drop. But credit to the guys, that didn't happen. They stuck to their task, they kept going. And, you know, over the 90 minutes, I think they thoroughly deserved the win.
Yeah, and what was obvious was, and I think we kind of picked up quite early on in the game, was the fact that the set up almost man for man to counter Queens is 4-2-3-1, so you had kind of Payne and in particular Lyle Cameron were pressing high, quite high, and I think that was a deliberate ploy. And even within the sort of first 5 minutes, Payne had dispossessed Gillespie in midfield. Loose ball ended up going to Savory, and Savory was through and goal, and it was tipped over by Callum Ferry in the Queens goal, which was almost a set up as to how the rest of the game was going to go, and how that game in particular of Peterhead were playing was at high press, and it really, I think, it put Queens off their game.
I don't imagine that Queens part would have been expecting it, to be honest, the higher press. It's not something that we do too often, but obviously Jim felt that it was the best tactic to go with. You'd see, as you said, right from the get-go, Nia Payne was forcing Lyle Camron. He was trying to get involved as well. I think if you allow players that Queen's Park have got time in the ball, they'll find room, they'll create that yard of space. They didn't get that on Saturday, and that's credit to the players, because there's no point one player pressing and the rest of the team nay. There was that trigger point that if Lyle was pressing or it was Nia, then the rest of the team were pressing as well, which was good to see. And yeah, they got their just rewards for it.
But typically, as the season's been going, from that corner that we got right from the other end of the park, Queen's Park had broken, and Brett Long had his first save of the game. Which, and I think if they look back at this, and Queen's will see this as it's a huge opportunity missed. It was a poor finish in the end. I know Brett was, it just kind of stood up and it kind of hit him rather than him actually saving it. But that was a big miss for them, even at that early stage.
Yeah, but they broke so quick for the, I kind of was your corner, but the speed at which they broke two or three players, and then before you looked at it, we've got, you know, a couple of guys running back, but they've got five or six just flooding forward. They're really good in the break. And yeah, like you said, they'll be disappointed. That was probably their one of the better chances that they had out with the goal in the first half. Yeah, they'll be disappointed. They'd have felt that was an opportunity to go 1-0 up and probably put us right in the back foot.
And the one player that we probably would have been looking at is one we didn't want to give too much possession to or allow too much space was Luca Connell. He took his goal really well on the 10th minute, as you said. The early goal, you just kind of thought, well, here we go, we're into one of those kind of games again. From a Queen's point of view, it was a really good goal. Nice little interplay between, I think it was him and Longridge. Edge of the area, he found a bit of space and then shot it into the near post. From a Peter Head point of view, it's a disappointing goal to give away, and I think Brett Long will probably look at it as well and think he'll be disappointed to get beaten so early at the near post as well.
Yeah, as you said, good goal for Queen's point of view. For our point of view, it is frustrating because Brett, as I said last week, is probably one of our best players this season. Just sort of last couple of weeks, a couple of things kind of gone for him in terms of getting beat at his near post. Disappointing, like you said. I felt that the floodgates were maybe going to open, and I think that's, you know, we've been critical the last couple of weeks, so give them praise where it's due that they stuck to their task, and you know they tightened up for the rest of the first half, and that gives the platform to build for the second.
But from then on, I think Queen's Park kind of got a foothold in the game, though. Once they got that early goal, you see that the pressure was probably slightly off them, and they were passing the ball about a bit, quite a lot. Gillespie and Connell, as I said, they kind of took control of the midfield a little bit, and for large spells, it was the ball was going one way rather than as it was initially. It was like a basketball game, one end to the other.
I think that was, first periods of the game, I think that was how it was going to happen, especially when Queens took the lead, their confidence level. They've won more games than us this season. The form that we were on, plus the performances as well, hadn't been that great from us. So I did expect it to happen. As you said, Connell for Queens, I thought Queens did well from their point of view. They targeted Danny Strachan's side, but they realised that that's a player that hadn't played for a while, and they felt that they could get some joy out of him. They sort of, you know, came down our right hand side quite a bit. They started to take the game, the tempo, a couple of nice passing, they're quick interchanging. So they did take control of the game, but I think that was, we sort of kept it tight at the back, even from where 1-0 down, because you felt if they got a second, the floodgates would have opened. So I think give the lads credit, they stuck to their task, as I said.
And as you said earlier on as well, that they could have gone 2-0, Connell hit the bar. And again, you mentioned about Brett Long, things in the movie not going for him. I think this one did go for him. But Connell's left foot shot, I think Brett thinks it's gone well over, but I don't know if it dips right the last second or if he just totally misjudges it, but it comes crashing off the top of the crossbar.
We were right behind him Saturday, and when it left Connell's feet, you did I thought it was going over, and then right at the last second it seems to dip. I think Brett, looking back now, would be quite happy that it's clipped the bar, because I think he maybe has slightly misjudged it, or it's taken a heck of a dip at the end, but both things sort of went for him on that occasion.
Yeah, it could have been a bit embarrassing for him, but that was, I mean, as I said, Queen's Park kind of had a lot of the possession without really creating too much other than that Connell effort, which I think if you're maybe a Queen's Park fan, you look at that and think, well, that's probably where we should have took an advantage of the amount of possession that they had, because as I said, that was kind of it for the first half. Certainly nothing was happening at the other end. Ferry was pretty quiet, but they didn't really take the full control in terms of, you know, creating chance after chance. It was almost like controlled possession for them.
I think it became a wee bit predictable as well. You could sort of see what they were trying to do. It became too... They were too reliant towards the end of the first half on O'Connell. The pinpointed that was a weak area for Peter Hee, but I think that's where they tried to put everything through. In the end, Simon Murray was coming a bit deeper to try that 1-2s with O'Connell, but became a wee bit predictable. I think Danny Strachan for the last 15 minutes of the first half wasn't going forward as much, so I was quite happy to sit alongside Jason Brown and McDonald and just sort of tighten things up for the last bit of the first half. So they did well, but I think it became a wee bit predictable for the Queens, if I'm being honest.
And then whatever was said at half time, obviously it seemed to work. Jim will play it down slightly, but he's definitely said something to them, maybe it's the manner in which he said it, because from almost, I know Connell had an effort which went over after a corner, but after that it was one way traffic, and the tempo seemed to be a lot higher as well. They seemed to be passing it a little bit quicker. And what was noticeable as well is that Duffy on the left hand side and Strachan on the right hand side seemed to be sort of 10 yards further forward.
Yeah, well, it was critical last week. Jim maybe felt his team talks messages weren't maybe getting through as well as they could have, or the players weren't taking it on board. Both things, whether it was Jim, as you said, was worded a different or a different tone, but the players listened, and you see that right away for the second half. As you said, Flynn Duffy, Danny Strachan were further forward, the defence was 10 yards further forward, so there was less of a gap between your striker and your midfield. And it worked. Russell McLean came on, and for me, he changed the game. Queens couldn't deal with it. He was able to come short, go long, running behind, which hopefully he did get with Nia Payne and Lyle Cameron. Yeah, Queen struggled, but credit to Jim and his staff, they got the ball rolling.
What it did as well was it forced Longridge and Longstaff on the other side, forced them backwards, yeah. Whereas they were quite happy to start quite higher up, because Duffy and Strachan were a bit further forward, so they had to drop back, which meant that the midfield was a little bit more compact, which I think was to our advantage more than theirs.
I think that was for the game we sort of won and lost, was the full-back areas, because obviously Duffy and Strachan were deeper in the first half, which allowed Queen sort of come onto this without doing too much. Second half, Jim sort of went in the attacking mentality of, well, just go forward and make them defend. And I think for best part of half an hour, you know, Queen's part struggled to do anything in our half once Russell McLean came on. So, no, credit to him. I think he got the tactics right. I say the personnel as well, but he'll say he only had a certain amount of players he could pick from. But no, given everything we've said before, they did really well.
And the subs, as you mentioned there, after 50 minutes, which to me on the day kind of seemed a bit strange. You know, make a substitution after 5 minutes, after half time, as we'll hear later on, Jim has a thing about making substitutions at half time. Seemed to work straight away, because within sort of 3 minutes, Rusty's won himself a penalty.
Yeah, he did well. The corners come in and he's... from your point of view, we're happy. I think it's soft. I think you'd see a lot of them nay given, as we've seen in previous weeks, but then at the same token we've seen that sort of thing given by certain more elite referees. He did well. I think, as I said, Russell changed the game for me. We didn't have that physical presence up top in the first half. I think him coming on just made them think a wee bit more, and the fact that we were 10-15 yards further forward as well. Everything came good for us in the second half.
What makes me think it's probably is a penalty, and I think we said it on the day as well, that the fact that there wasn't much complaints from Queens apart from Gilday, obviously, because it was him that conceded it. But I've seen it again as well, and you can see there is an obvious tug on him. There is a tug. Whether or not it's enough for somebody who's 6 feet forever to go down, I don't know. But if you remember a game here last year when he was playing for Montrose, he won a penalty here.
Yeah, that's right.
Against Jason Brown for a similar thing, I think.
If not less.
that was definitely a soft one last season when he was at Montrose. That's one, again, probably soft, but it's one of those that would probably be more than not given.
Yeah.
So I think it probably was. And as I said, there was little in the way of argument for anybody in a Queen's shirt.
That normally tells you that it's a penalty. For the only person complaining is the person that's committed the foul. In fairness as well, the referee was pretty quick.
Yeah.
When the incident happened, he was quick to blow for the spot kick. And then, you know, Scott Brown stepping up. He's really good for the penalty spot. Calm, assured. And, yeah, slotted it away. And I think at that point, rightly, we got us back into the game.
Normally, when you see something like that, your referee will have a word with everybody in the box first, and then you guarantee, oh well, this is going to be a free kick to the defending team. But he didn't actually. I don't think it was any corner that he actually had a word with anybody. It was just a case of, right, if there's one thing, I'm just going to give something, and
yeah,
he was probably right in that occasion.
Yeah, I sort of agree with the referee not telling the player. I mean,
everybody canes the rules. They shouldn't need to be told.
Exactly. Why would you tell somebody you've done a push in the box and the ball comes in and then you give a foul anyway? It's like, well, they know the rules. If a ball comes in and they're fouling each other, then you give a decision one way or the other. But like you said, 9 times out of 10, in that sort of instance, the foul would go for the defending team and it'd be a free kick. But, you know, we've been on the wrong end of a few penalty decisions and refereeing decisions the last couple of weeks. So, you know, thankfully one win for us.
And the corner was won by the determination of Danny Strachan, and I think this comes back to the point we made earlier on about, you know, him pressing higher and going further forward. I think it was Robson, who you think has got a lot of time just to see the ball out, let it go out for a goal kick, but Danny's got an error. He's forced the error out of Robson, won himself the corner, and then from the corner we then won the penalty.
Like I said it in commentary, the first 15-20 minutes I thought Danny struggled in the game, but you know, as I said, he'd been out for the best part of 2 months. I was always going to happen, and then the second half he really came into a good game, and as you said, the determination to win the corner, been so easy for him just to give it up, or, you know, a player will go and try and make a half hearted attempt to win the ball without really being committed to it. But no, credit to him, he was opposite, he won the corner. You know, and it's led to the penalty which was scored from. So without his determination on that side, that wouldn't have happened.
And then, matter of moments later, Rusty has a chance. Great play this time on the left-hand side for Flynn Duffy. He's worked his way, he's got a cross in. And then I think, again, maybe on another day, Rusty makes better contact with this and it goes in the near post rather than just touching the outside of the post.
I think that was the best move of the game that we had. It was five or six one-touch passes or two-touch, and it was into McLean. Being hypercritical, he's got more time, I think, than he realises. Whether he could have taken a touch or whether he felt he's got to be pressured for a defender behind him, don't know. But I think if he used to look back and be honest, he'd probably be disappointed that he's not made the keeper work better at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, gets on target.
And there was a few times Flynn had runs like that. Just, it was just all of a sudden he decided, right, I'm just going to take my man on and get to the byline. And he got to the byline 3-4 times in that second half alone and got in some good positions, got in some decent crosses. And if that's a vision into what he's going to be like for the rest of the season, I mean, we just need to get men in the box to make sure that there's blue shirts there for his crosses.
Yeah, same with Danny Strachan. He was going forward and pressing and putting in some crosses. I think towards the end of the first half, we sort of mentioned in the commentary that we'd like to see them get further forward. And one moment there was a ball in from Danny Strachan, and Flynn Duffy was nearly on the end of it. So I think them going forward is maybe a sign of an attacking intent and being more offensive, which is good to see. Like you said, if that's a vision that Jim's got for the two of them, or whether it's Mulligan that goes to right back or whatever, but no, they look good.
And I think you said it a bit during commentary as well, there was only going to be one team to score a second if there was going to be, and that was going to be the home side. They had made changes, they changed their tactics, they brought on McHugh, which to me signifies that it wasn't working for them second half, and they had to change it, and it still didn't work. But the second goal, again, it's Mulligan. McLean will get the credit for scoring a goal, but Mulligan's has to get the praise for not only winning the ball in the midfield, but that run that he made to get the shot away.
Yeah, like you said, McLean will get the applaudits for scoring a goal, a good finish to be fair, composed. But Mulligan's run, you know, the best part of 40, 50 yards. Again, that determination to win the ball, he could have been quite happy just to keep his shape in midfield and allow Queens to come back. He was not, he wanted to win the ball, he got there first, drove on, I think he took two or three players, got the shot away, which I was impressed with the shot as well, quite easy. He's done the hard work and blazed over the bar, yeah. He's kept it low, fired at the keeper. Ferry's probably disappointed, to be fair, when he looks back, he hasn't pushed it far enough away, it's an adjective with the keeper, he's got to try and palm it away for goal. Palm down to Russell McLean's path and a nice dink finish off the post to go 2-1 up.
But I think that's where Mulligan is at, dude. He's so confident that he gets in that position. Now, the only thing he's going to do is take a shot because he scored against Dumbarton from a similar position in an effort. But the next home game, I think it was the Falkirk game, he had a shot from similar range. It didn't go in. But as soon as he's in that position, we all know what he's going to do. And I think Rusty knows that as well, and he just needs to get in there just in case there's a spell for the keeper.
Like any good striker, if you know he sees his strike partner or player taking a shot, you've got to be there to follow up in case find spells, and you know it paid off for him. But I was impressed with Mulligan, that determination to go and try and win the ball. And they're happy just winning it and then sort of holding his position. He's quite happy to burst on and try and get that second goal. And yeah, I think at that point, as we said, there's only going to be one team to score the second, if thankfully we've got our noses in front.
But Rusty, he started his run as well from deep within the Peterhead half as well, so he's got to get a lot of credit for keeping up with George as well.
He's a fast lad.
Because he would have been quite easy for him just to kind of get a sort of halfway thinking, I'm not going to keep up, but he did well. It was just that organising kind of thing that the ball was spinning and you just weren't sure where it was going to go, inside the post or outside the post, but it crept in, and I think for then on it was only got to be really one winner, because after that I think Queen's heads kind of dropped a little bit. They didn't seem to have the same kind of composure. They took off Luke O'Connell, which I was absolutely delighted with, because he was the one that was going to create them the winning opportunity or an equalising opportunity if they were going to get one.
I think anything that was good about Queens on Saturday came through Connell, so the fact that he went off I think was a good thing. But I also think that's credit to Danny Strachan, that he shot him up in the second half. He couldn't do anything. He had that shot for the corner, as you mentioned, just 5 minutes in the second half. And other than that, I don't think he really had much touches of the ball, never mind create anything. Mm-hmm. Again, that's credit to Danny Strachan for forcing him back and allowing him to play good football. Yeah, the guys did well, to be fair.
We'll mention the comedy moment of the day then. when we'll call it the ghost goal, shall we say. A corner again, which seemed to cause them a lot of troubles. Grant Savior this time swinging it in, and Danny Wilson missing from a couple of yards.
Yeah.
And then suddenly on the tunnel, the goal music kicks in.
Yeah, as the referee's pointing to the goal kick in the 6-yard box. Yeah, just testing that it was working, I think.
I think Gray was the only one who actually thought it was a goal, because neither of the players were celebrating.
And the music went on for a good 30 seconds as well.
No, definitely not, but no, he carried on. But in the end, he thought it was 3-1 and they 2-1, but there we go. Well done, Grant Savory, man of the match. He got it. I think we said at the start of the programme, we said earlier that he probably feels a little bit hard done by being dropped for the game against Cove. He's come back in again, played in a different position. He's played to play in centre midfield, and I think quite rightly got the man of the match.
Yeah, absolutely. I've said for a few weeks now that I've liked that Grant's got the offer, and I think we've seen the best of him on Saturday, and the fact that it's his natural role and position as well, it's even more credit to him that he's picked up that role. It's maybe something that we've had Scott Brown do over the last couple of years. He'll pick up the ball deep and run, so it's fine to see we've got another player or similar type player that can do it. You run 40, 50 yards, it takes the pressure off your team.
I think you'd miss an Andy McCarthy in your team, because he just likes to kind of break things up and
pick up a
yellow noon again. So it was good for to see somebody like Grant, who it's not his position, but he filled in that gap, he filled in that void, and the amount of times he was winning the ball in midfield, particularly second half, was just unbelievable. But not only that, he then had the composure to go, right, I'll nick a 5-10 yard pass that way, or I can beat this guy and then create a bit more space for himself. And that comes for the skill of being a winger.
Yeah, I think for like Mace, he doesn't just admire his pass, he's played that 5-10 yard pass, but then he's following it on, he's either doing an overlap or he's holding his position to get the ball back. He's a very clever footballer, and I think whether it's a position he might want to take up, I certainly think he can play it. He's maybe happy as a winger or playing as a number 10, number 9. But I certainly think if we were to see a team sheet and him and Scott Brown's in midfield, I'd certainly have no complaints.
And he can use his space quite a lot in terms of not just pinging a long ball, but if there's 5-6 yards in front of him, he will use that 5-6 yards and then make a pass or can try and take somebody on. It's not just a case of, right, I've got a bar, I need to get rid of it.
Yeah, as I say, he's a clever player. He can see the space or the lack of space, but he utilises it to his best. You know, that 5 yards can be a difference between a free kick being 20 yards out and 25 yards out. And again, you've got that better opportunity to score. He's a very clever player, and I certainly think he's a player that we're going to see more on the team now than we have in the last couple of weeks if he's been on the bench. But like you said, I think he was harshly done by being on the bench the other week. So he came in for a start on Saturday and certainly did his chances no harm.
And I think the one thing that I picked up when he got substituted, and I think this is what you learn from when you're a young player at Celtic, as he was being substituted off, he didn't run off, but he didn't walk off, but he just a wee trot. And as he got halfway across, he stopped. One stop down, took his shin guard out, just to kind of adjust himself again, and then walked a wee bit further. And then once he got 3/4, stopped again, took another stop down, took another shin guard out. I think that little kind of thing, just, I don't care if you want to call it time management or game management or whatever you want to, that's the kind of things you would learn from high profile coaches or kind of players that he's played with while he was at Celtic. It's just that kind of little little differences that you'll get for a player like Grant Savey.
Yeah, it's very smart when you're winning. If that's an opposition player and you're losing, you're raising the time he's taking, let's be honest. But no, he did well. Even towards the end, you've got a throw in, it's passed from one player to another, and then it's passed to Flynn Duffy for passing it to McDonald, and then we take the throw in. These little things, it's about game management. And that can be the difference between staying up and or going down. It's that small margins in this division. He's a clever player, and he's using the experience that he's got, even when he's coming off as a sub.
Right, we'll get the thoughts now of the manager, Jim McNally, and here's what he had to say after the game.
Was that the kind of perfect response to last week?
It is. I think the last time we played Queen's Park, we got an absolute hiding in the first half. And we responded after that game, we beat Dumbarton. You just hope that that's what happens, that you do get a response. And I do think with young players, don't seem to carry it on, they just go on and they go out and play again. But I did fear for us, 10, 15, 20 minutes, they lose the goal, and we could have lost another goal probably. And you just think the worst, that, we could collapse. But I did say at half time, and I think even maybe 15 minutes before half time, that we started to get a wee foothold, we had a better shape to us. And I said to the boys at half time, one's not enough for them. And I did feel that. I thought when we played down there, they were a wee bit vulnerable when we got to them eventually. And obviously with having the two on the bench, able to come on, give us another aspect to the game physically. And obviously they played really well. I don't think Brett's had a lot today in the second half. So it's a massive result. Looking at the results in the league again today, you just couldn't make it up.
Given the players you had missing and the ones that you've took in, does that even make it even more pleasing that the guys that have been on the fringe have done so well for you today?
It does. I mean, I I think the 10 outfield players are just over 21 average age, which is really young. And you know, everybody's come in and staked a claim, and that's really what you want, you know. And when you see the boys that's not playing, it buys everybody a wee bit of time as far as trying to manage the situation. You know, at a push, we could have played maybe Hamish or Simon, but you just think, no, let's manage the situation now, because this league is ruthless, and we'll buy ourselves a wee bit of time on. So it's 3 points that nobody really expected us to get. But when you watch these boys, I mean, we actually played in training the other night, we played young v old, and the young absolutely muddled the old. It was only 4 or 5 aside, but honest to God, and Grant Savory was brilliant even at that, and I was so pleased for him today, because that's not his position.
Yeah,
you know, and he just went out and played, and he's got that belief about him that he knows that he can play, and I don't know if that comes from being a Celtic player or whatever. I always try to say to our players, if you sometimes when you play against the Falkirks and that, you can see they've got a wee arrogance about them, that they believe that they're better than part-timers. And I think Grant's got that in him. And so I was so pleased for him today, because he showed his quality.
But you say half-time, the turnaround seemed to be pretty straight and quick after the
half. No, honestly, I just say that half-time, I don't think one's enough for them. And I had obviously said to Russ Lundell to make sure they were warmed up. I've got this thing about, I don't like making substitutes at half time. I think they make a bigger impact when they go, and it does give the other team a wee bit or less time to deal with the situation. So it was pleasing. I mean, Scott Brown had actually been really ill last night, and I told him this morning, no, you need to travel. And he phoned me and insisted on coming to play. So it makes it even more pleasing, do you know what I mean? And makes it more worthwhile that we get that result and we get that performance for the boys. I mean, Josh Mulligan playing out of position. You know, wee Danny's not played for a long time. Flynn Duffy had a poor game last week, but, you know, played really well today. And I think the 3 centre halves is the best I've seen them for a while. Big Andy McDonald last week was nowhere near good enough, but today it was excellent. So it's good for them to step back up again. I think
he kind of touched on it there, but this game almost mirrored what happened in the away game. You know, we're 1-0 at half time, we come back, we go 2-1 up. But I just felt in this one in particular, I didn't see Queens ever coming back. And this one, whereas in the away game, you always felt that, you know, they were likely to get something out of the game.
Yeah, I felt, like I said, there was only got to be one team that was scoring a second, and once we did get a second, I never felt that Queens were really going to come back and play. I generally felt the only way they were going to get back into it was either a free kick or a corner, to be honest, set pieces. They went off the boil, and then once Connell came off, I felt that was their best player on the day, and once he went off, their biggest threat, in my opinion, I thought we'd see out the game rather comfortably.
And Rusty got the winner. We spoke to him after the Montrose game. He seemed quite down, quite deflated. And then when he was doing the media stuff after the game on Saturday, there was a swagger about him. I think he's kind of that kind of player that he needs to be in amongst the goals to really, for us to benefit from, because his performance when he came on was probably as good as I've seen him in what, maybe 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, he's a confident sort of player. When things aren't quite going his way, you don't get the best out of him. Probably maybe struggle to keep his confidence up, but once he gets a goal, so that a couple of weeks ago, I was hoping that would be enough he would go and kick on for there. I'm hoping now that we'll maybe start seeing something, because with injuries and suspensions, you know, and he still didn't start the game, that's maybe also a telling thing that when he came on, he maybe had a point to prove as well. that the fact that Lyle Cameron had played for the best part of 2.5 months, got a start ahead of Russell McLean. These little things would probably play in a player's mind. So the fact that he got a goal, he got the assist by getting the penalty, yeah, he was in buoyant mood on Saturday evening.
He was full of chat, shall we say,
yes.
After the game. Right, let's hear for another couple of players. We're going to hear for Danny Strachan, but first we'll hear for Jason Brown.
Right, Jason, terrific results. How did you sum it up?
Yeah, like you say, I think it was terrific. I think it was way more like us today. The boys put everyone across the pitch. You've seen how hard we worked, even though we went a goal down early. I think we stuck together, and that was a big thing. Absolutely terrific result, and it's even a bigger bonus that the performance we put together as well to bounce back from last week. It was great.
As I say, how after last week's disappointing result and performance, how key was it to get someone out of this game as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think last week was, the players will take that as a responsibility, put their hands up and say it was absolutely nowhere near good enough. So we were all eager to get out there today. I mean, we had another young team with another good week of training in us, and kept spirits high. And we actually showed today what we're all about, what Peterhead's all about. We're grafting, fighting for every ball, and that's what we need to do. And if we do that, we'll have a lot more wins than we do losses.
Did you worry sort of midway through the second half, they'd gotten the goal and then they sort of chipped away, hit the bar, could have been sort of 2-0 before half time? Was there that kind of fear in your back of your mind again that this could be another bad result?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I think it said at the start, it was a big plus that we stayed in the game, going 1-0 down against a good side, because we know we'd have our spell in the game, and it was vital for us to stay in the game at that point. They had a couple of good long range efforts and that, but I think Brett had a good save as well. So no, everyone played their part today. It was a much more team performance. And then second half, I don't think Brett had a save to make, which is positive for us, because they're, like you say, they train every day. We train maybe once, twice a week together, so it's a big compliment to us. But we can't just be happy with that. We now need to kick on and do that week in, week out. But that's the youthfulness of our side. I mean, you've seen Danny Strachan, you've seen Lyle Cameron come in today, who have not played a lot of football. But to be fair to them, they ran, they grafted. They got a wee bit tired maybe towards the end and gave away a few things. But that's expected. As long as we put in the graft and the work, the performances will shine through.
It's a defensive unit as well. It's a number of games that yourself and Danny, David Wilson and Andy McDonald's have played together. How is that partnership developing?
Yeah, good. I think it's a new system for me and the other two centre-halves. But it's every game I feel we're getting stronger. Maybe didn't work last week, which was we'll just put that as a bad day. But before that, I think we'd been playing okay. Two Falkirk Montrose games up here, we'd started to lead like a unit. So every game we're getting stronger. I feel we're understanding each other. We're not giving up as many opportunities as we maybe were at the start of the season. We're starting to hopefully build that solid foundation, which we can go on and give us a platform to win more games. I mean, obviously, again, we'll look at the goal we conceded earlier on because it wasn't good enough. We knew we needed to start well and strong, but we didn't do that. But we managed to bounce back, and for a young team, I think that says it all. It was a great reaction from the boys, and we have no doubts in there. People might doubt us out of the dressing room, but it was even going 1-0 down, we knew we were playing better than we had been previously last week. So we knew we just needed to stay in the game, and then brilliant that the Russell comes on and does his thing, scores it.
Danny, terrific win in the end. How do you sum it up?
That was a really good team performance. I think especially second half, the goal gave us confidence to just keep pushing. I thought from then on, we always looked like the team that could have scored the winner.
What did the gaffer say at half time? Because the performance seemed to pick up second half.
He said we'd done well, we defended well, kept a good shape first half, and it just needed a bit more in the final third, a bit more belief in ourselves, and that definitely came in second half.
And then for you, this is your first game since September. You mentioned before that lack of game time for you, but so how pleased were you to not only just start but get the full 90 minutes?
Yeah, it's good. It's been frustrating the last couple of months not being able to play. You just got to keep sticking at it, hoping when the time comes you can put in a good performance. I think I did quite well today.
Has that been difficult for you, trying to just keep taking over?
I mean, obviously it's fine because I'm training every day. I can still keep my confidence up that way, but you want to be playing, I mean, there's not much you can do. Training once a week, you can show what you can there, but it's difficult to get into the team. But hopefully now that we've got in, got a win, we'll be staying there.
Slightly different role for you as well, because you normally see you as an out-and-out sort of right back, but it's more of a sort of wing back now, we're playing my back three. How did you find that the day then?
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I've done it before with Dundee and the youth teams and that as well, where I've just had the license to go forward. But I don't mind it at all, because you get back in as a right back as well, and the ball's the other side of the pitch. So I think it's just the same defensively, apart from a bit higher up on the field back. But I think we've adjusted well to the shape and got some decent stuff out today, especially.
Going forward, especially second half, you were getting a lot of the ball sort of there, third, getting balls into the box as well. Is that something you're aiming to do as well, try and be a bit more of an attacking force?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you're a defender right back, but obviously the way the game is now, a modern game, we're always attacking, looking to be the ones getting assists, balls in the box all the time. Big Rossi getting on the referee, getting balls in the box. But yeah, that's what I want to do, get some more assists coming.
And you're one of the youngest ones in the team, but just I think the team average age would be 2021 today. Does that make a difference to you guys? You're just out there to play?
No, definitely not. I think I've got the belief that we're good enough to go and beat anyone, so I don't really see the difference. Whether we're young, they're more experienced, maybe been in the game longer, but we've got the ability to win games against anyone this week.
Second half, they pretty much didn't have much efforts on goal, but it was pretty quiet. As a defensive unit, then, how pleased were you to keep them sort of relatively quiet, they just first half, but second half, entirely through the game?
Yeah, it's good, because they created a lot of chances when we were down there last time. Right? First 3-2, but they had a lot of the ball, a lot of chances, and today we kept them quiet, so it's one of the better teams in the league, I say, a full-time team, so to keep them quiet and then don't punish at the other end, it's a really good result.
And you've given the manager a bit of a problem now as well, as you said, you've come in, you've done well, you've done exactly what's been expected of you, so once the other players come in, it's got to be a bit of a problem for him now, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll be a good problem for him though, but hopefully I've done enough to stay in the team the next weekend of this time.
Problem now for Jim, as we've kind of mentioned there with Donny, is that he's come in, he's played well, and it did exceptionally well, I think, given the circumstances, and probably deserves a place for Saturday's game. But normally it would be Josh Mulligan that's in there, so suddenly now it's a big issue for Jim as to who he plays and where he plays him.
Yeah, I think if Danny didn't start on Saturday, and Kempis are really, really unlucky. By the same token, I think there is also a case to say that Josh Mulligan has got a part to play in midfield as well. Because when we've seen the team lineups on Saturday, I did think that Danny might go right back and Josh might go in the right wing. But obviously, he put Josh in midfield as well, in more of a central role. You know, it's maybe something that both players can feature in his starting 11. I think whichever player, if there is to be one of them that's dropped for Saturday, didn't count themselves, really unfortunate.
And even, well, we're assuming that the ones that we're missing are going to come straight into the team as well. We should maybe think, no, now that they're out, they might find it difficult to get back in again.
Yeah, I said the other week that some of the players, you can almost predict Jim's team barring a couple of players. You know, whilst there may be a couple of players come back for a Saturday, it doesn't necessarily mean they've got to start. I mean, the team that you finish with on Saturday, he might start. He might start, you know, McLean and Lyle came on. There's an argument to say, well, just start the team that finished the game on Saturday if they're fit. And you'd have a really good bench to change it. I don't necessarily think he needs to make a heap of changes just because there's players coming back or it's a cup game. As I said, the team that finished the game on Saturday could well be the team that starts on Saturday coming.
And Jason said as well that it was more like it. I think, as we've said, I think particularly last week, that there's an expectation of where their performances should be. And I think they've also recognised that obviously the Cove defeat in performance just was nowhere near good enough. He says that's more like it. I think particularly second half, yes. But we just need to see it now for a full 90 minutes.
You've said that for a while now, that we get flashes in games for we didn't do it consistently over 90 minutes. And it's getting to that level for they've got to perform for the whole 90 minutes rather than just like a half. But, you know, Jim said that they spoke about it in training briefly about the performances at Airdrie in Cove and it ended up being good enough. And we're only critical because it's the performances that these guys have set themselves.
Yeah.
And looking at how good they can be. And you think also like players like Ritchie and McCarthy, and I've quite been on the boil lately. So, no, it was a good performance on Saturday for the second half. You just need to try and replicate that over 90 minutes.
So we move on then to this weekend's game. It's a break from league action. It's a Scottish Cup now. Away from home, we've been drawn against the Civil Service Strollers. Scottish Cup maybe hasn't been were most kind of favoured competition in recent years. If you go back to 2018, I think it is, before we actually won a game in the Scottish Cup. We lost last year at Stenny, lost year before to Raith Rovers. So this is maybe an opportunity to win, not only win, but then obviously go into the next round, which then gives you that kind of potential of a big draw.
Yeah, we've been done, I think, especially last year, Stenny was about a banana skin for us, and I think this has got the makings of a potential banana skin. Jim said, they're a very well organised team, they can exactly fit their jobs are, and they'll be able to cause a bit of a cup shock.
Mm-hmm.
With us going down there, it's probably a game that you'd have preferred to hit at home rather than going away down there, but nevertheless, it's who we've been drawn against. The team is more than capable of winning. But I think this is one of them games you could probably lose it before you've even started by your mentality. They've got to go in with the right mentality, the right attitude. And we should be fine, but if you go in with any complacency, that's when the problems will start.
They are Lowland League, which is two divisions below. They are fourth. But as we know, Lowland League has a lot of... say a lot more financial backing, shall we say,
yeah.
In terms of the players that they can recruit. As I said, they're sitting fourth. They're only 2 points off a second. They're a long way off Bonnyrigg, who seems to be running away with it. 12 wins and just 5 defeats in their 20 games in the league. So it's not going to be just a straightforward go doing their winning and see if you get in the next round kind of thing.
Yeah. I think when the draw came out, there was a few guys that were like, quite happy it's a lower team. But it's until you actually start looking into it, you go, this has got to be a tough outfit.
Yeah.
As you said, they've only got 5 defeats in 20 games. There are 12 wins that they're used to winning games. For us, that's maybe the difference with us. When I got that swagger for winning games week after week with an odd setback, we are the opposite. We get a few setbacks, then we get the one win. I think the win on Saturday would hopefully give them the confidence if they get a good couple of days training as well. Tuesday and Thursday, going into the game with the right attitude. Certainly I think it's a game we can win. Like I said, if you go in with complacency, that's when the problems will start.
And a lot of these players, they're young kind of players. They've come through the ranks at Hibs, Hearts, Livy, Edinburgh City, Rangers. Some of them, we talk about Grant Savory, and that's where he learned his trade.
Yeah.
Some of these guys have learned at the same level, that just, for whatever reason, they've ended up at Strollers. A couple of guys there on loan for Hibs as well, Jack Bryden and Jaden Fairley, who were, funnily enough, at Stenny last year. and played it. So, I mean, it definitely isn't going to be just a straightforward, kind of one-sided affair. We have to go there knowing that this is going to be a tricky tie. I think Jim and Davey will be experienced enough to know. Need to be complacent about it.
Yeah, I think when we spoke to Jim about it, but Ken, he's also done his homework before the game on Saturday with the Strollers. He cares how well organised and fit like an outfit they are. He cares that they'll be difficult, they'll make it hard for us. But like I said, the second half performance for Queens and with the right attitude, I think we should be okay, but there's always that doubt in the back of your mind when it's a cup game, it's a one off away from home, Lowland League side. Because they'll have a point to prove. They'll show, they've got players there that'll want to show that they've got ambitions of maybe playing higher. And, a team like Peter might be interested. You never know later down the line. But it's got the makings of a good game. I would say that. I think it could be a good game on Saturday.
And there's one thing we're guaranteed is a good welcome for Strollers. They've been advertising their various packages
yeah.
They've got. And decent prices as well. A programme pie and a pint for 15 quid. You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
Even the hospitality at 30 quid, they've got buckets of beer at before the game and at half time. So you're well catered for. And I think that's slightly some of the difference you get with these clubs as well. When you go to these kind of places, you will be well looked after.
Yeah. that makes you want to go back. That's how they sort of generate their money. I think sometimes the higher up in FIBA, the more corporate it becomes, and the price reflects that. But you know, you get the impression that you're well looked after there. You're there for a good time, cup of pie, pint thrown in. It's a win-win situation.
So we'll be hoping that the pies and the beers will be going doing well after a good victory, of course.
Yes, that's the plan.
That's the plan. But as we know, plans kind of go awry slightly. But we'll see how it goes. And so that will be it for this week. Then we do hope you've enjoyed it once again. As always, my thanks goes to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week. So until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.